Well, take a look around. You see everybody who's here today? Okay. The goal of this sermon, when we're all done, is that you will love one another. So who is that person that you don't get along with? Who is that person you're always arguing with or complaining about or have a struggle with? Well, 2 weeks ago we talked about the strong and the weak. Which are you? Are you strong in your faith or are you weak in your faith? Well, they both had challenges. And God, through His Spirit, led Paul to write to us that we're not to be judging one another, and we're not to be looking down and despising one another. And he continues on today in verses 13 through 23, the same thing, and he talks about the importance of building up one another. How often have we, instead of building up one another, have torn down one another? By our words, by our actions, by our responses. Our danger that we face is that we think about our liberty in Christ and we don't think about how it'll affect other people. Everything that we do and say has an effect on other people. And we are always to be thinking about the fact that we're always to be having a good effect. Some of us tend to be cantankerous. I'm sure actually none of you are like that. It's probably just me. But we can tend to be cantankerous. We can get argumentative. We can get disputative. Is that a word? Disputative. And we may think that we're loving. But one of the character qualities that is related to love that is important, I think, in building up one another is the character quality of deference. I wonder how many of you could define deference. Think about that. What does it mean to defer to someone else? Well, 2 weeks ago we talked about the problems that the weak have, the problem the strong have, and so on, and the exhortations. Today, as we continue on, all the exhortations are mainly to the strong. And you say, well, that doesn't sound right. Why isn't he talking anymore to the weak? Well, because the strong have the greater responsibility. In fact, Lord willing, coming back next week, you go to chapter 15, verse 1, and it says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. We're under obligation. If you think you're the strong, you have an obligation to those who are weaker. In particular, not to flaunt your liberty that you think you have in Christ. So as we look at this passage, we want to notice three things. The first thing is, what you're not supposed to do. Okay, if you're going to love and care for and show deference to the weaker brother, what are you not supposed to do? The second thing is, well, what are you supposed to do? And the third thing will be, what's the reasoning behind this? Well, look at verse 13. He says, therefore. In other words, he's coming to a conclusion based upon what he said before about don't judge one another, don't look down on one another, don't despise one another, and so on. God is the judge. He says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. God is the one who judges. We're not to be judging. Yet the interesting thing is that there's a play on words here in the Greek language. So if you were looking at the Greek text, you would find out that it said twice it uses the word to judge. It literally says, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather judge, never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. So they've translated the second one as to decide. Rather decide, don't put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. So you're not to judge one another any longer. In other words, you're supposed to stop doing that. Stop making judgments on one another, thinking, oh, they're like that, they do that, da-da-da-da-da. And you tend to look down on them then. Instead, you're also to think about the fact that you may be putting a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Think about that. Or sister. A fellow believer. This play on words here, in other words, do not discern differences to pass judgment, but with true judgment or discernment, don't put stumbling blocks before others. You notice he says, don't do this to a brother. He doesn't say, don't do this to an opposition leader. Don't do this to an enemy. Don't do this to a rival. That might be true too, but here he's saying, your tendency is you're doing it to a brother. He says, stop doing that. No longer. In other words, basically what he's saying is, remember that you're supposed to be loving one another. Love is more important than your opinion, even if you think you're right. Or even if you are right. This word to decide or to determine is used in 1 Corinthians 2:2, where Paul said, I have decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, he's come to a conclusion about the matter, and this is what he's concluded. He's only going to preach Christ crucified. Here he says, here's the decision. I'm not going to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Now, what's a stumbling block? Well, a stumbling block is a word that means an offense, an occasion to fall. You've told your children over and over again, don't leave that toy there. It may become a stumbling block to me. It was a little block and you stumbled over it. And now you're having trouble. You hurt your back or something else. Okay? Well, this is a figurative sense. You're putting a stumbling block before this weaker brother. By the way that you're acting, by the way you're judging them. He says, also don't even put a hindrance. The word there is a scandalon. Something, we get our English word scandalous. And that's something that Mount said leads a person to sin or to fall away from the faith, an occasion to fall. I mean, the word is used of a trap for an animal, a snare. You're trying to catch an animal in a trap. He says, don't set any traps before people. You're hindering them. You're causing them to fall. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. In verse 14, he says, I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. So if your brother's grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. And so he's saying, don't grieve your brother. Don't bring destruction on your brother, your sister in Christ. By the way, verse 14 is pretty amazing for such a Jew as the Apostle Paul. someone who's such a stickler for the law. He grew up in it. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He held to the law of God. But now he's saying, I know, and I've been persuaded in the Lord Jesus, there's nothing unclean in itself. He's talking here about the foods. You're no longer under the law of the foods. But he says, at the same time, if someone thinks it's unclean, to them it is. The word unclean here is just the word for common. Something that is common. In the temple, you had things that were dedicated to the use of the temple. They were sacred. They were holy. Everything else was common or unclean. You couldn't use it in the temple. It was just common. You could almost say you're inviting people over for dinner. You don't use the common dishes. That would be unclean to set before a guest. You set the nice stuff up. Well, Paul says, look, in the matter of this food here, there's really nothing unclean. I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus about this. He says, and yet, if someone thinks, legizomeno, to think, to reckon, to consider it as true. Paul might say, I don't think it's true, but somebody else might think it is true. That this thing is unclean for them and they can't eat it. And so for them it is unclean. And he says in verse 15, therefore don't grieve. Look what he says. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love.
You say, I have liberty to eat anything.
Great. Don't flaunt your liberty before a weaker brother who doesn't think you should. If you're at home, you can go ahead. You're in front of them, you don't. And you don't set it before them if they come over. Okay? That's the way it is. That's showing deference. That's showing love. Here it says, if your brother's grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love.
Well, then you're not fulfilling the second law, the second greatest commandment, right?
Love your neighbor as yourself. Here, love your brother as yourself. Love your sister as yourself. You're not walking in love if you're grieving them by flaunting your liberty. Don't grieve them. This grief is a feeling of sorrow or pain that someone's eating what the weak feels. Oh, they shouldn't do that. That's wrong. And something that so grieves them that they may end up thinking, well, maybe it's okay, and then they do it, and they violate their own conscience, as it says later. And they don't do it by faith, and they are being destroyed. Look at the second half of verse 15. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. This is a fellow believer.
You say, this doesn't sound like a very serious sermon. Listen, if this can cause destruction, that's very serious. You see, how we treat one another is very, very important. Ah, those weaker people. Well, maybe you're really the weak one. Maybe you're weak in your faith. You don't know how to respond right to other people. Don't destroy.
This is someone that Christ died for their sin. They're a fellow believer. Look at verse 20 as well. He said, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. You're destroying the work of God by what you eat. You're engaging in behavior that for someone else would be wrong. You say, is there anything besides eating? Yeah, it could be all kinds of areas. You say, well, I have liberty in Christ. I can go do this or I can go do that. Was someone else offended by it? Do you care about them? Are you concerned about them? They're the one weak in the faith. Are you going to lead them astray? They're going to go contrary to their conscience? Say, oh, that can't be that important. Yeah, it's important. That's why we need to learn that showing deference to a weaker person in the faith is an act of love. Deference is limiting your own freedom so that you're not being offensive to other people. You can have freedom and not do something you think you feel free to do because you don't want to offend somebody else. That is a good thing. So he's saying, don't destroy your brother and grieve him by doing things in front of him. Well, what are we supposed to do? Well, look at verse 15 again. He says, if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. Well, what you're supposed to be doing is walking in love. You say, well, what does it mean to walk in love? Well, go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and read it again. And by the way, it begins in the home. Love begins in the home. Then it comes to the church. We need to learn to do good to others, to please them, but not at the expense of displeasing the Lord, of course. But we can please our fellow believer by not flaunting our liberty before them. You say, I know that it's okay. Yeah. And what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 8? Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Do you want to be puffed up, or do you want to build up one another? God's goal for us is that we're always building up one another. Verse 19 adds to this. He says, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. You're to pursue the peace. Back in chapter 12, it said, as far as possible, as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Do you do that? You pursue peace by, if you are wrong, admit it. You pursue peace by, if you're right, you don't say anything. Or as it was colloquially put, when you're wrong, admit it. When you're right, shut up. Okay? Because you don't want to be offensive to other people. Someone said you need to be careful what you say. Yes, you also need to be careful how you say it. One of the goals that we had for our church many years ago, and we still have it, but we don't remind you often enough, probably, and we probably fail often in it. And that is that we would only give a good report of one another. Think about that. Are you committed to that? I will only give a good report about a fellow believer to anyone else. That means I won't give any bad reports. I won't speak evil. I won't gossip. I won't slander. We all fail in many ways. But God wants us to learn this, to speak good about one another. The very reason why God gave us giftedness as believers is because we're part of a body and we're to be working together to build up. I hope that none of you are cancer cells in this body. Think about that. Do you have cancer cells in your body? What are they doing? They're fighting against all the good that the rest of the body is trying to do. Your body, when it's working and functioning properly, is constantly working to build itself up. It's regenerating cells every day and so on. But the cancer is trying to destroy, destroy, destroy from within. We don't want to be like that. We want to build up one another. We want to encourage one another. That's what it means to live by faith as well. Look at the last two verses there, 22 and 23. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself or what he approves. Because whoever has doubts, they're condemned if they eat. Their eating's not from faith. Whatever doesn't proceed from faith is sin. We're to live a life of faith. Now, you say, well, I have liberty. Am I supposed to deny myself of this? Yes. If it would cause someone else to stumble. If it would be a hindrance to somebody else. I should deny myself. Doesn't mean that we're wrong. Nope. Verse 14, the apostle said, I know this is right. It's not unclean of itself. I have liberty, but I'm not going to use it. So let's look at some thoughts why he's saying this. Look at verse 16. He says, so do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Because if you're flaunting your liberty, it's going to be spoken of as evil by somebody. If you're flaunting it before somebody who's weaker. Now, is this talking about the fact that you're eating something that they don't think you should eat? Well, that's possible. That might be what the good is, but it might be just the whole Christian life. You're destroying your whole Christian testimony. You see, your Christian testimony is not based just upon what you eat, but it's based upon much higher things as well. In verse 17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, so you can show deference in these things. But what is really important is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And these are the things that we hold on to, and these are the things that we are to practice toward one another. Walking in righteousness, doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Pursuing after peace and having the joy of the Lord is our strength because we're doing what is right. These are the results of the genuine salvation if we have it. By the way, this is what unbelievers are looking for. Okay? Think about that. Do unbelievers know how believers ought to act? Yes. How do you know? Because sometimes they tell you. They see you doing something and they say to you, oh, I thought you were a Christian. Have you ever heard that before? What are you going to say? Oh, I have freedom to do whatever. Well, make sure that it is something you truly have freedom for, because they're watching too. Oh, the dangers of life. Are we seeking the Lord? Do we seek to build up one another? Do we seek to encourage one another? It's about living a righteous life and having the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. Again, in verse 18, he says, whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Both of these things will be true if you're acting properly. You will truly be serving Christ, and you'll receive the approval of people that you're doing what's right. Now again in verse 20, he says, look, I know that everything is really clean, but if someone thinks it's wrong, don't make them stumble. Don't make them stumble. Do the positive. And so verse 21, it is good. Hear that? Ah, our ears ought to prick up when we hear that. It is good. What's good? It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that would cause my brother to stumble. Okay? Can I find a church where they're all strong? Why? You want to just flaunt your liberty because you just want to do what you want to do? Maybe God wants you to learn self-denial. Just because something is okay to do doesn't mean you need to do it or that God wants you to do it. Sometimes the good is the enemy of the best. The strongest Christian can bring harm to himself by exercising his Christian liberty, by denouncing or belittling the freedom or lack of it in others. Listen, as Christians, we are to enjoy our liberty. We're to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free. But at the same time, we're not to flaunt it before someone who's weaker. A healthy conscience, someone said, is kept by not offending the weak. But if the weak violates their conscience by following you, you have led them astray. Person doubting, verse 23, they doubts they're condemned if they eat because their eating is not from faith. We must do all things by faith. Doubt is incompatible with faith. Don't cause a doubting brother to do something just because you think it's okay and you want to show your liberty and flaunt it before them. What's it like to lead someone astray? You going to be accountable for leading anybody astray? Sometimes I wonder about that, you know. Being the teacher, you get stricter judgment. Woe to those, God says, who leads other people astray. We don't want to do that. We don't want them to cause to go contrary to what they believe. So remember these thoughts. Believers are going to continue to differ over certain matters. These aren't really essential matters. These aren't essential beliefs of the faith. So why can't you show deference? We're to learn to relate to other people and what their scruples are. Be loving toward them. I mean, after all, the unity of the church and the glory of Christ are more important than exercising our personal liberty. Remember what it's saying the next time, chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation. We have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. There's a certain type of people pleasing that's wrong, but there's a certain type of people pleasing that's good. I hope you understand the difference. Deference. The dictionary says it's humble submission and respect. It's yielding someone's opinion or wishes out of respect for that person. Another has defined it this way: deference is limiting my freedom, my liberty, in order not to offend the tastes of those God has called me to serve, all of my brothers and sisters in Christ. May God help us to truly be loving and desire the unity and oneness together, even when there's disputations, that we are willing to show deference, to defer and not to destroy. May God help us by His grace and for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are such important thoughts, and we're preparing to partake of the Lord's Supper, which is a recognition of our oneness. But if we're causing strife among ourselves and judging one another and despising one another and grieving one another, we're not united. We want that unity, Lord. I believe we have that unity. But Lord, any areas where we fail, forgive us and Help us to come together now in worship around your table, and that we might truly be one, even as you, Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are one. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.